Monday, November 7th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we'll be discussing window managers and some other crap. Let's do this. Ha 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 ha.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
All right. So, Paris is still burning.
It's not burning like in the olden
days. Nah, the picture on the news right now shows something burning.
Yeah, okay, so it's not burning down like when they burn the whole thing down.
No, there's no Bastille going down yet.
But, I mean, people are burning a lot of cars and houses.
Yeah, they finally killed someone.
Okay, they got one guy. Great.
Though, apparently, the only real news now is that...
Oh, wait, the police got someone?
No, some kids killed an old man.
Oh.
They beat him up while he was trying to put out a trash fire.
Oh, I thought the police finally killed one rioter.
No, they've arrested thousands. It's not doing anything.
Oh, okay.
No
Did
offense.
They have a jail that big?
I don't know what they're doing.
Did they reopen the Bastille?
The news isn't so informative. The only real news is that the rioting has spread to Belgium and apparently some German suburbs now, too.
I don't think it's that widespread there because I was listening to another podcast. A guy's in Belgium today.
Oh, no, it's not because both of those countries reacted immediately.
No, okay. Rioting. Poor people.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people in the news are trying to blame this on the Muslims who are rioting and the North Africans who are rioting, but the only common thread is that they're all poor.
If you're poor, you don't have a job, you got nothing to do, you got no money, you riot.
Or you do something else.
So, worse, almost as bad as rioters is SEO.
So, what do they do now?
So, SEO has demanded from IBM information about Linux kernel version 2.7.
Because that exists.
That's the story.
I want 2.7. I want that information now, too.
Well, so far, they've discussed it on the mailing list. There isn't, I don't think, a single line of code in it. There's no 2.7. There's a theoretical 2.7.
There's a theoretical 9.
Yep.
You know, I'd love to be there physically at the trial when I could see SEO standing there and they've made their claim. And they say what they want. And then the IBM guy stands up and says, that doesn't exist. You might well have asked me for the flying spaghetti monster's noodly appendage.
But the flying spaghetti monster is real.
Damn straight. Yeah, though that stupid intelligent design trial is over. It's over. It's over.
Well, if it's over, how come the judge hasn't said anything?
Because now the judge is sitting in his room thinking about whether he's going to side with science or crazy.
What takes him so long to think? You're a judge. You've heard everything. There's nothing new to hear.
Maybe he only works like Monday through Friday, so he had the weekend off, and now he's going to make his decision today, and he'll say it tomorrow. I don't know.
So he's going to say it on a different day than he comes up with it?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I think he's a lazy judge trying to get a little vacation.
Yeah, the only funny thing that came out of it was that the Vatican came out and said that idea is crap.
I don't know if that was just one.
No,
I don't know if that was
the
Vatican or just a guy.
It is the official position of the Vatican unless the Pope says otherwise.
Yeah. Man, there's a story about it on Slashdot. I scrolled down.
Yeah.
And there was one guy who was like, you know, I'm an ID proponent, whatever. Everyone else was just like, science, woot! Right?
Uh-huh.
But even that guy didn't know what ID, he didn't know what ID was and he was a proponent of it. He just didn't get it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, some people are that way about Darwinism also. They're opponents of it, and they don't know what it is.
People tend to be opponents of things that they don't really understand.
It's because they think they understand them, and they're proponents of what they think. Anyone's a proponent of what they think.
Yeah, because I'm very much a fan of Rim is Awesome Ice.
You think wrong. Who is that?
I don't know.
That's good. That means we don't have to pay attention.
It's someone local. I have no idea who it is. I'll just...
Yeah. Screw it.
Anyway.
We'll have to cut that out or something. I don't know. Yeah. We could leave it. Doesn't matter. So that guy was on death row.
Okay, so a guy was on death row. What'd he do?
He escaped.
No, I mean, what did he do to get on death row?
I don't know. I didn't read that part.
I mean, is this a real murdered 10 kids?
Oh, yeah. He was a bad guy. Okay. No doubt. Anyway, but he escaped. They thought that like someone helped him escape, like this anti-death row group, but they were acquitted. They didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
This guy just, like, I think he walked out, like, in, I don't know how he got out. But anyway, he was on the run, So they made a huge manhunt, of course, which is what they should do.
Yeah.
And they got him. He was drunk in a phone booth.
Awesome.
Because, you know, when I escape from prison, I'm going to get drunk and hang out in phone booths where I won't get caught.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have gone one step further.
I mean, you could have gone to Mexico.
I would actually put out the classified ad, you know, hey, escaped serial killer looking for some, I don't know, whatever escaped serial killers are looking for.
I'd just go to freaking Mexico or something where they couldn't get me. I wouldn't hang around and get drunk in the country that I'm running away from. Obviously.
Well, let me put it this way. He's on death row, so whatever he did, he got caught. If you're not smart enough to avoid the police, you're probably not smart enough to avoid them again.
Yeah.
He could have run to Somalia.
Where the pirates are?
Where the pirates are, and where apparently the reason there's pirates is because there's no government at all.
There was a government.
There hasn't been a government in Somalia for a fairly long time.
So it's just anarchy?
Pretty much. Ever since the ruling party was deposed, there's really no consensus as to what the actual government of the country is.
So why don't we just go there and do something?
Because the country's split into these five...
No, I'm talking about you and me.
Oh, the country's split into these five, like, fiefdoms, and they're run by these warlords, and they each have their own army.
Oh, okay, so there is someone in charge.
Yeah, but there's no more
Somalia.
We can't
just go in and set up our own warlordness.
No, but Somalia is just a bunch of little, like, bickering countries now.
All right, what are you going to do?
So after this whole pirate attack, the U.S. said, hey, clean up your act, and Somalia said...
We're a bunch of warlords. What are you going to do?
We don't have ships. We don't care. Go away.
We'll pirate you if you come near here.
Help us. You can clear out the pirates. We won't stop you.
Yeah. Arr. Pirates.
No, I wouldn't have even brought up the pirate attack. I mean, that happens all the time, and it's not that big a deal, but these
were captain
probably,
was awesome.
This was probably the most interesting pirate attack in the last couple years.
Yeah, there's some interesting pirate attacks.
Yeah, this one was pretty interesting. I mean,
the thing is, it was a cruise ship. It wasn't like a boat full of stuff.
Yep. It was a cruise ship, and the pirates had RPGs.
Well, they always have RPGs.
Yeah, and they fired a whole bunch of them at the cruise ship.
And they always do that. It's not the part that separates
it. They really
it.
Only succeeded in breaking a few windows.
Well, no, they blew up one cabin, but no one was in it.
No, one person was in it. She was taking a bath, so she didn't get hit by the shrapnel.
That's not what I read.
That's what I read.
Conflicting story.
Ah, in fact, I'm looking at that story right now. There's another guy, he's a World War II veteran, and he was trying to take a picture of one of the pirates, and, quote, the man with the bazooka aimed it right at me, and I saw a big flash. Needless to say, I dropped the camera and dived. The grenade struck two decks above and about four rooms further forward. I could tell the guy firing the bazooka was smiling.
Great.
Apparently, the captain of the cruise ship tried to ram the pirates a couple times.
Yep, and he totally ran away with his ultra-fast cruise ship.
Yep, there was some quote where the captain says something to the effect of, I didn't know this thing could go that fast.
Yeah, but the stories I read didn't have passengers doing stuff. It was like, all the passengers were shoved into the center of the ship, and the captain got everyone off the deck, and, you know, no one got hurt. And whatever.
Yep, no one got hurt. They all got good stories. I imagine they all get refunds or something.
Well, I can imagine they're going to finish their cruise first.
Yeah, well, the ship was kind of RPG'd. I think they have to put them on a different ship.
Nah, it still works. Boats, very hard to sink a boat, you know.
Yeah, but there's
rules. You think about the Titanic, it sunk when it hit this iceberg. It's so hard to do. The iceberg was so big. Oh, my God. I mean... You know, you hear, like, oil, like, spills.
Here
it
is. Quote,
so much.
Quote, a woman survived an explosion in her stateroom simply because she was taking a bath at the time. Others flung themselves to the floor to avoid bullets that were zipping through the ship. They were only gathered after the pirates attacked.
The story I read was, like, an RPG hit the boat and exploded in it, blew up a cabin, but no one was in it.
Well, there was a woman in that cabin.
Maybe it was a different cabin, two different RPGs, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
some
even
other
though,
pirates
though,
went down today. Grokster's gone.
Well, they were gone before.
Now they're actually gone. They had to pay $50 million, and they're out of business.
All right. No, it's one more P2P network that's gone.
Luckily, we still have the Pirates Bay.
Unlike the Somalian pirates.
Yeah, Pirates Bay has a...
Yeah. It's much better at pirating, and it doesn't kill people with RPGs.
Unless they download Final Fantasy VII, but
it's bad.
That was awesome. You
that
gotta,
was bad.
That was awesome.
That was just bad.
What? You
could
have done better.
Even though Somalia has no government, We have a government.
Yeah, what about it?
We vote for it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, election day.
But it's just shitty town government.
See, I was excited because I like the town we live in, Beacon, and I wanted to get active. But I read the proposals of the two sides, and it's all either FUD or just straight-up BS, and neither one of them actually has a position.
Well, the thing is, those are just, like, the vote-for-me pamphlets. We have to find, like, the position things, which is not easy to find because apparently the town is internet incompetent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go in and vote, but I don't think I'm going to vote for any people. I'm only going to vote on any propositions that may happen to be
on the
ballot.
Yeah, I'm going to go in and I'll look at it, and you know, I'll look and I'll see if there's anything that looks like I want to vote for it. I'll click it, and everything else I'll just leave it, whatever.
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be some town propositions and stuff, and maybe we can vote for a judge, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's even a story on FARC today about how I think less than a quarter of people are going to vote in this election because no one cares.
Hmm.
Nothing's at stake.
Yep. If there's a school board voting, I'll vote for the non-incumbent school board.
I think I'm going to vote for a non-incumbent anything forever until things change.
Yeah, but that won't make things change, I don't think.
It would if everyone did, but not everyone will.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I'm going to get me a DS and my Wi-Fi.
We already have a DS. It already has Wi-Fi. It just doesn't have a game to play.
Yeah, Mario Kart's coming out. When's it coming out?
The 14th. I'm going to be there ASAP. And I'll become the Grandmaster of Mario Kart DS, as I was the Grandmaster of Mario Kart GBA.
We'll see.
It's not even like a C. It's you will see, because it will happen. It's not. It's like there isn't doubt.
But at least apparently it works with every freaking router, unless you're using WPA, then it won't work.
Yeah, but if you don't have an open wireless or a WEP wireless or a Buffalo AOSS access point you can use, you know, you can use the little USB thingy.
Yeah, the little dongle.
So, like, if the only access around is, like, a pay T-Mobile hotspot, well, the DS can't really use that, but your laptop can use that, and then you put the USB thing in the laptop, and then you're good. But I don't know if it's Windows only, which I'm pretty sure it is. So that's
from
not
what I've read, it's Windows XP only.
Oh, that's really kind of bleh. I mean, at least all Windowses and Mac. I mean, I can understand if you're not Linuxy, but you should be Linuxy though.
Yeah, you should.
Hell, they should make it like
Mac people are real ticked that it's not Mac friendly.
You know what they could have done? They could have made it like a Java app to start it up. Who would have thought of that, huh? Yeah, bastards. You know, now if I'm somewhere where you know there's no, you know, wireless that the DS can actually use, I'm SOL.
Yeah, but that's fine, because I still have a million single-player games to beat.
Yeah, I'm just not going to buy the USB thing, I don't think.
We don't need it.
We don't need it in the house, but what if we go somewhere?
I imagine places like Otakon and all the other cons we go to.
Yeah, what if you go to, like, a hotel and they have pay wireless? I mean, there are actually a couple hotels signed up to have DS access points the same way McDonald's does. I think it was, like, participating Regencies or something like that. I don't remember. But you know, what if I go to, like, you know, Marriott was not one of the ones listed.
We wouldn't pay for that anyway. I mean, at the Renaissance where we stay for Otakon every year, it's like $10 a day to get access.
I can't believe they charge. Oh, my God.
Because business travelers pay it.
So dumb.
Because their company picks up the tab.
Oh, yeah, my company. What if I go somewhere on a business trip, my company picks up the tab? How am I need to
When's your company going to send you on a business trip?
They almost sent me to Florida a long time ago.
Great. So you get to go to Florida. I get to go to, like, Connecticut.
Connecticut's cool.
Not Windsor, Connecticut. It's just a little suburb.
Yeah. Most of Connecticut is a suburb. In fact, the whole state is pretty much a suburb.
Ha-ha.
Except for, like, two cities and a nuclear submarine factory. The rest of it's suburb. All of it.
Huh?
Whole thing. So, on the internet today, well, actually, kind of yesterday, there was this website. It said greatest internet moments.
Is this a real list or is this a stupid list?
Well, the list, it wasn't any sort of official list, but the good thing about this site is it brought back many lost artifacts.
Welcome to ZomboCon.
ZomboCon wasn't one of them, at least not one I saw.
What?
It might have been there, I just didn't see it, but it had, it reminded me of the Chow Chow, the little stick figure fighting.
Oh!
And it reminded me of Radiskull.
I am the raddest skull.
Yeah, and it reminded me of the long-lost Hiryuchi.
Oh, God. We'll have to link to that because I don't even know what to call it.
Well, you know, people haven't seen that. A lot of people who've only been around since, like, you know, recently, they never saw this stuff.
Well, actually, it was a while ago. I was at work, and so they'd all discovered Banana Phone, you know. Ling, ling, ling,
oh,
ling, ling,
great.
Ling,
I don't, phone. God.
So they discovered it, and they were laughing at it. And I was like, oh, it's just like badgers. And they're like, what now? Badgers. What's this?
They didn't know the badgers.
So I had to show them the badgers.
There was a guy I heard on a podcast today. It seemed like, to me, like he just discovered the Numa Numa dance.
Oh, the Numa Numa dance.
Let's see, a Star Wars
my
kid. That's
my
it.
My Yahoo.
Yeah, Star Wars kid. And I think that's just, you know, I can't think of any other ones, but this website was just loaded with all that stuff, and you bring it back. Homestar was on there, you know.
Homestar's still going, but I don't watch it anymore.
It was real good in the day, but I just kind of lost interest. I imagine it's still the same, but it's just more of the same.
No, because remember the good old days before the gimmicks?
You know, I'm 75% sure that my email was the gimmick email.
Yeah, yeah.
I have it somewhere.
That's your claim to fame here.
Of course, I think they changed, you know, my name on it and stuff. Whatever. You see anything cool?
Actually, there's something weird out of Korea, because everything weird that happens comes out of Korea.
Nowadays.
But, yeah, but it isn't the usual stuff. It isn't like kid dies playing video games or crazy moon water. It's this 8-year-old who's going to university.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, Song Yu-gwen wants to build flying cars and all this other stuff, apparently.
Yeah, I remember when I was in second grade, and they were like, what's it going to be like in the year 2000? And everyone was like, flying cars! And I made a flying car out of constructs, but it's year 2005. There's no fucking flying cars.
The thing is, the article isn't real informative, and as I read it, it looks... There's no, like, oh, he scored this well on this test, or blah, blah, blah. And there's a chance that this is some sort of crazy publicity stunt.
Could be a crazy publicity stunt.
It was just a slow day on the internet, and this was the coolest thing I saw.
You know, I think if we actually educated kids properly, though, that they would be that smart at that age.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, the ones that were smart.
I mean, I remember in fifth grade, or no, God, fourth or fifth grade, one of those 2 years, they had a little pilot program. You could stay after school, and they teach you algebra.
Yep, I did that in fifth grade.
And we learned algebra, and we learned that, oh, it's real easy. Why didn't you teach us this sooner?
Yep. I remember in first grade, they gave us, like, math problems where there'd be a box, and the box might be on the other side of the equal.
Oh!
And you might have, you fill in the box. And then later, when they showed me algebra, I was like, I could have done this in freaking first grade. I've been bored in math class for 5 years. Why didn't you freaking say something?
Yeah, I think the educators in this country really underestimate kids sometimes.
Well, you know, no child left behind.
Yeah, yeah, gotta go to that lowest common denominator.
I think everyone underestimates kids. If we let kids run the country, then we wouldn't have a deficit. We wouldn't have a war. We wouldn't have...
I imagine we'd have some other problems.
Like?
All the retirement money and Social Security would probably disappear.
I don't know, the kids like their grandparents.
Yeah.
Grandparents
yeah.
spoil them. They might let them have it.
I picture wars starting over silly things.
At least it's young versus old is better than poor versus rich.
Yeah. Of course, remember, the U.S. didn't sign the Human Rights Accord specifically because the Human Rights Accord gave rights to children.
Well, no, they specifically didn't sign it for other reasons. That's just one of the
things. That was one of the reasons, one of the main ones, because they didn't, the way it was worded, technically, you couldn't take, you like, America, children aren't allowed to sign contracts and things like that. Yep. And legally, that would make it so children can sign contracts.
Children should be able to sign contracts.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? There are some people who are old enough and allowed to sign contracts who shouldn't. And there are children who can who aren't allowed to. I say if you can understand the contract and prove you understand it, then you can sign it. It doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, but you can't do
age discrimination.
Like that.
What?
You can't really have subjective measures like that.
Well, you know, someone reads the contract. You say,
who says they're the authority?
No, someone reads the contract. Then they explain what they just read. If they're accurate, then they can sign it.
Who do they explain it to? What if the person...
The lawyers.
Because the judge is always the smartest person, not just the elected schmo who...
Even if he's not the smartest person, he's a judge. He judges. That's his job.
Yeah.
he's the one who judges.
I don't know how much I trust some judges sometimes.
Do you need a jury to sit there and listen to someone describe the contract they just read to prove that they understand what they're signing?
I don't trust a jury for crap. The only people on a jury are people who can't get
out of jury
duty.
It has to be someone who decides things. We have people deciding things. We need someone to decide. That's who it is. It's a judge.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
See, the thing is,
if you don't like what a judge decides, you can get a smarter judge who's been a judge for longer.
The
you get like
is,
four tries, it
doesn't
usually
matter,
works.
Because that's not how it is.
It's not how it is, but it's how it should be.
Eh, we'll see. Well, we won't see, because things probably won't ever change. Not anytime soon, anyway.
No, not soon.
Unless we get some parising happening around here.
We're not going to have parising around
here. Nah, nah.
But all of Europe might paris.
Nah, I don't think Germany will.
Nah.
Nope. Italy, they're fine. They'll just ride their scooters. Well, ciao! Well,
France will Paris.
Yeah. I mean, if you look back historically, this isn't the first time that, you know, the poor rioted in Paris. Remember the whole Paris Commune?
No. I remember Vive le Roi.
Vive le Roi!
And what was that guy's name?
Horatio Hornblower?
No. The French guy.
That narrows it down a lot. Count de Monet?
No, the evil guy.
Who, Robespierre?
Yes!
You just remember Robespierre because of that game we used to play.
No, actually, I didn't think of it until you said his name. The game did not come before in the thought. You said Robespierre, and I was like, that was the guy. And then the card appeared in my head with his face on it afterwards. And then you said it.
Not Louis the 16th?
No, he sucks.
Not whoever was against Horatio in that one episode of Hornblower?
No, he sucks.
Yeah.
What was that cake lady?
Oh, you mean Marie Antoinette?
Yeah, that lady.
You know, let them eat cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have no bread. Let them eat cake.
Yes, an accurate rendition of what she actually said in those faded final days. Complete with the accurate period voice, I might add.
Off with your head.
So, it's Science and Tech Day.
All right.
And we can't argue about science, so we'll argue about tech.
All
window
right.
Managers!
You know, I've pretty much tried every window manager there is.
I have tried four of them.
And they all suck.
Yeah, but in different ways.
Always in a different way.
See, I've noticed a lot of people, just like people I talk to at work, or people I talk to on the street, or just people who don't use Linux, or they don't use it much. Picking a window manager is one of the first problems they have, because that's not even a consideration in Windows.
It is. There used to be that light step thing, or I don't know if I think it still exists.
But all those things you had to go out and get. By default, you install Windows, and you get Windows.
Well, by default, if you install Ubuntu, you get GNOME. If you install Kubuntu, you get KDE.
Yeah.
And there was
yeah.
just a thing. Mark Shuttleworth is using Kubuntu, and he wants Kubuntu to become as... Because right now, Kubuntu is like the back seat. He wants Kubuntu to be, like, in the passenger seat right next to Ubuntu.
I don't like KDE so much.
I don't like it so much either, but apparently some people do. And KDE distributions are dying left and right. So, I mean, KDE was the first window manager I used ever. I mean, it was back in the back days. It was KDE 1.
Yep.
Then KDE 2 came out, and I was like,
and did 3 come out? And
yeah.
then 4?
Well, no. Is 4 out? I don't know what version's out now, but... When 2 came out, it was like 100 times better than 1. And then when 3 came out, it was a little bit better than 2. And then I discovered other things, and KDE was poop.
Yeah.
The real... KDE would be good. The problem is, it uses the Qt library, which I don't like as much as the GTK library at all. You know, it's all bleh. It's not... None of the skins for it even look good. They're all ugly and bloated and... Not even considering the licensing issues.
Well, plus KDE itself, I mean, unless you pre-link it, it's slow as fuck.
Oh, it's slow. Horrendously slow.
Pre-linking will fix that, but a lot of people don't want to go through the trouble of pre-linking.
I don't pre-link. It's not worth the effort.
I pre-link. But I have an older, slower computer, and I need to pre-link.
I'm thinking about buying a dual CPU Athlon 64 machine someday.
Ooh.
Maybe a dual core. Then I won't need to pre-link anything. But the real problem with KDE is that there's just so many options. It's like you open an options window. It's like a hajillion checkboxes.
And yet, even though there's so many options, half the time I still wouldn't find exactly what I wanted to do.
Yep, it's just not in there. There are some good things with KDE, like K-Parts.
Yeah.
K-Parts is good, which lets you put any piece of a, like, pieces of programs in others. So, like, you'll be using one program, and, like, K-Mail will creep into the same window, you know? And some of the KDE programs are good. I guess K-Opete is okay. It's like the GAIM of KDE. K-Write, K-Mail, they're okay.
I mean, I guess I look at KDE and GNOME as being pretty much equivalent because they're both the giant window managers full of stuff.
Oh, because they're not just a window manager. They're a desktop environment.
Yeah, they come with utilities.
It's like in GNOME. In GNOME, the window manager is Metacity. You can use just Metacity if you want.
I actually use Metacity with IceWM at work.
Look at that.
Yeah. Well, I did. I stopped doing that for reasons I won't get into now. But
well,
Metacity is kind of slow on an old machine.
Yeah, Metacity is kind of slow. But
not as slow as anything that's even remotely related to KDE.
Well, you know, it's how it is. But, you know, when you want, people want all that stuff. They want it to be comfortable, and they want to have everything in a GUI, and they want to be able to do all these things.
And you know what? I do, too, because I run GNOME on my main machine.
Yeah. There are some real useful things in KDE and GNOME that you can do that you can't do without. Like, I know Nautilus lets you browse to, like, SSH, you know, SFTPs.
Yep.
That's real useful. What else is really useful? You know what the thing is? If you use KDE or GNOME, you get a working system tray.
Yes.
No matter any other window manager desktop environment, the system tray is always broken or fickle or something.
Yeah, or IceWM is just ugly.
Ugly. Sometimes you can use a program like XYSysTray or things like that, but they're never perfect, and you have to move them around, and they're all broken. And
I mean, GNOME right here, I've got my little system tray, and I've got
little... Don't even think about calling it the notification area,
no,
which is the proper name for
it. I got my little GAIM thing, and I got my little character input thing for Japanese and Korean and all that other stuff.
No. Yeah. You know.
Basically, you got to choose between, do you want an all-encompassing environment that'll just work, and then you can tweak it within itself? Or do you want more customizability, but comes with that great responsibility?
Well, it's not so much that you're losing customizability, because you can use FVWM, which is infinite customizability.
Yes.
It's just not in a GUI, and it's not easy, and there's, you know, if you
want... No, it's not easy. I tried to make an FVWM, and I started stealing things from other people, because other people have made these freaking amazing FVWM desktops where things fly around, and everything's pretty and perfect. But they're so customized to the person who made it, I can't even use them.
The real problem with FVWM is that you can do anything technically, but to do things that are outside the normal bounds of what FVWM does, you have to do something crazy hackish. Like, if you want something to fly across the screen, there isn't a function like, make it fly across the screen to the right. You pretty much have to, like, redraw it, moving it to the right by X pixels and write a function that does it with a loop. You know, and you have to go. You have to actually program stuff, and sometimes you don't program it directly like that. Sometimes it's like use some other obscure thing and bind it to an event, and then force the event to happen artificially and make it do something.
Yeah, scarily enough, a lot of people do that anyway. There are ricers for FVWM, and they do crazy, silly things.
Well, a lot of them just have stuff done, and once you get to the point where most of it's done, you can just keep using it.
Yep.
And if you have a lot of free time, like I did in college when I used FVWM, you could do that. But then as soon as I switched up monitor resolutions, everything fell apart, and now I just don't use it anymore because I don't have time.
Yep. There's also the real simple little ones, like IceWM is just real tiny. It looks like Windows 95, but it works.
Yeah, there's AEWM, which is kind of like that.
What's that one Steve uses, the really light, cool one?
Well, that's Ion. That's completely different.
Yeah.
But there's... In terms of little do-nothing ones, is like all the boxes, OpenBox, FluxBox. You know, it's just they give you like a menu and a bar and a background.
Yep.
And everything else is up to you. You know, oh, you can add desktops. But those don't, it's like people use those and they're like, oh, this is so great. It's like you can't even, it doesn't even do anything.
Yeah.
I can't customize it to do stuff I want. And it's really, it's just like a tiny thing that just like, it's like a placeholder. It's like, I need a window manager. Here's one that does nothing.
I mean, if you're going to do that anyway, just why even have a GUI? What are you doing?
Well, they get like a menu and they get virtual desktop switcher.
Yeah.
That's all they get pretty much.
Telling you, man, just use terminals and rat poison.
Rat poison. I mean, I never used rat poison, but from what I gather, it's really just terminals.
Yeah. You can get like a window and a terminal kind of.
Yeah, that's about it.
It's really not. that great, but...
It's like the most minimal anything.
It's the most maximal a terminal is going to be.
That's about right. But yeah, Ion, the one that Steve uses and that I'm starting to use, it's actually pretty weird because you can split up your screen. You make it a grid out of it. You can either, you know, and it actually handles like separate monitors correctly, and it handles all this stuff. But, you know, you can get menus, and you can do stuff like you can say, bind, so when I push whatever, a little prompt pops up. And then if I type in, let's say, me at me.net, it'll open up a terminal in that frame that is already SSHing.
Ah.
You know, it can do stuff like that. But all it really is just split the window up into frames, resize them, move them. Each frame can have as many windows as you want, and they all get tabbed. And that's it. And you get bindings. You can bind keyboard things to stuff.
It also does your dual screen properly.
I just said that.
I wasn't listening to you at all. I can't stop looking at this horrible picture from Cluster Edge. Yeah, remember Cluster Edge? The show that was... Yeah. Well, there's this picture, and I'll put a link in the post, because I think it sums up everything that this show is very succinctly.
You're not going to show the picture like the guys looking at each other or anything?
I think this picture says it all.
It's nothing to do with window managing.
I had the window open, and I turned around, and I saw it, and it just distracted me.
Oh, you know what window manager we forgot? XFCE.
Oh, I've never used it.
You used it? I remember you using it.
When? No, I didn't. I ran Windows for a long time.
Anyway, XFCE is like the in-between window manager. I used it a whole lot, but now I don't. I kind of forgot about it. It's like you get the nice GUI GNOME stuff, but a lot less of it. But you actually have stuff, unlike Fluxbox, where you have like almost nothing. You get like a panel, and you can customize the panel, and there's a bunch of control panel settings you can set. And you can get menus that do things. You get themes.
Yeah, because those menus that don't do anything are just awesome.
It's like, it's like real light, and it does stuff, you know. But it uses GTK like GNOME does.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. You know, if someone has, like, a weak, weak computer, they can't, and someone you would normally give KDE or GNOME, but their computer's too weak, XFCE is, like, the trick.
Yeah, it makes sense, because you don't want to give them, like, ISWM, because they won't be able to make it look
good.
Well, you can't make it look good.
And if you're someone who, like, you know, is using something lesser, and it's not enough, but you don't like the slowness of GNOME and KDE, you can go to XFCE.
Yep.
Oh, Enlightenment. That's right.
Yeah, Enlightenment is interesting.
Well, Enlightenment 16, which is what's currently stable...
Oh, yeah, we're not going to... Not even 17, all the way.
Yeah, 16, like, if you saw it a few years ago, it'd blow you away. It's so cool-looking, and it doesn't use as much resources as things that are less cool-looking.
Yeah, but nowadays, it's not so impressive.
That's really, like, the goal of it, is to look cool, you know, while not using resources. But, you know, it's not really something you can use. I mean, some people use it, but I can't. It's like... It's not practical for doing anything.
Nah, unless if you want a really cool desktop, like you see in the movies when someone's doing stuff in a movie on a computer, you could make something awesome in Enlightenment.
Yeah, but Enlightenment 17 actually looks like it's useful, and it does all sorts of OS X things, and it's, you know, it doesn't use a whole bunch of resources. It's actually really wicked fast. Uses your video card for everything like it should. You know, it's all cool. And I got it to work. There's a live CD that you can get. It's eLive, the Enlightenment Live CD. You just put it in, you choose Enlightenment 17, and you can test it out on your computer to see what it's like. And it worked great.
Yep.
But can't get that to actually install permanently on my computer. I mean, I can install from the live CD. You know, the distribution that's on the live CD copied my hard drive. But if I want to use Enlightenment 17 in Gentoo or Ubuntu, I don't even think you can use it in Ubuntu or anything like that. I mean, people do it, but it's so much effort, and it's like you can ruin your computer like 10 different ways trying to get it to go. I think it'll be stable, though, within like a year or so, and
using Gentoo, don't you need to have like not even tilde, but like star?
Yeah, it has the hyphen star keyword. Which
is like beyond bleeding edge. It's like the knife already cut you.
Yeah, you're pretty much just stabbing yourself. You know, it's pretty much like, we want to put these e-builds in here because we made them and we put them in here if you really want to use them, but you should never use them.
Yeah.
They're not for you. the trick behind Dash Star is that it's so hard to actually get something with Dash Star to install and work, you know.
Well, maybe we should clarify. In Gen 2, there are keywords.
Yeah.
So, like, say, normally it's x86.
Well, it's x86 if you have an x86 processor.
Yeah, most people have an x86
Some people
processor.
Have PPC, yeah, an AMD 64.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's, like, the normal keyword, and you compile things. But some things are a little bleeding edge. So, like, version 9 of something will be out in x86. But 9.1 will be released under tilde. So you don't install that right away. It only moves to x86 when it's stable.
Well, it's called tilde is testing. So when they make a new e-build, right? I made a new e-build for the new version. You put it in testing.
Yep.
And then as soon as it's been tested enough, they take the tilde off.
Star is like, yeah, I haven't even really compiled this yet. Here you go.
Yeah, it's like, we made an e-build. Here it is. You know, and the thing about testing is, like, when it's stable, that means it works on any machine with, you know, so if it's, sometimes you'll see a package, it'll be, like, stable x86 and PPC, but if you have an AMD 64, it'll still be tilde.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's regular x86, that means it's guaranteed to work on any x86 computer, no matter what your combination of software is.
Unless you have something broken.
It's not a guarantee or a warranty, but it means that they've tested it.
If your system is functioning properly, it will run on your processor.
Yeah, 99%. But they don't make a guarantee about it, but it's pretty much guaranteed. Minus star isn't, like, tilde is saying we don't guarantee it might screw you because
star
we
haven't
tested
everything. Star is saying, I guarantee this will break your computer. Go away.
Yeah, there's a very slim chance it won't break your computer. You know, you have to be like a real magician.
Yeah, if you want to see Enlightenment 17, get that CD and look at how pretty it is, and then just forget about it because you'll never get it.
You'll get it like a year from now, or you can just take that live CD and install from the live CD. The problem is I had the window manager crashed on me a bunch, but it does crash very gracefully.
Yeah, that's so much better than not crashing.
Well, Windows, you know, it crashes, right? And then you can't do anything, and pretty much your only resource is to reset the whole computer with a hard reset. When Enlightenment crashes, it's just like, I've crashed. Will you please click this button, and I'll start up again. And it starts up again in like 2 seconds, you know. And that's the other good thing, is that X won't crash, but Enlightenment will crash. So that all your windows will just lose all their windowing, and then they'll gain it all again. So you don't actually lose anything.
Uh-huh.
Window managers crashing isn't so bad. X crashing, you'll lose all your running X applications, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
Actually, no, I haven't had it happen, except when I had video card broken things a long time ago.
Yeah. What's really funny is that I heard an interview with the Enlightenment guy, and apparently he's developing Enlightenment 17 using Enlightenment 16 running on an X server in OS X. So he has a Mac running OS X with X running on that, with Enlightenment 16 running on that, with an X Nest running Enlightenment 17 to test Enlightenment 17 as he codes it.
That reminds me of back at RIT when you would SSH into a CS machine, and then SSH from that back to your machine, and then from that to another machine, and then you try to X forward over all that.
Yeah, with a 3D program?
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
If you make a loop of SSHs, or you try to, like, go back at all, SSH, like, freaking complains. It's like, oh my god, security, someone's spying on you, oh my god. Which I guess is good, it's that smart.
Yeah.
Can't fool SSH. It's really secure.
Hey, you can fool SSH1.
No one uses SSH1.
You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't.
I know a lot of people who... There's a two?
Mostly I didn't even specify one or two. Two is the default. You can't use one.
A lot of people are running old, like, Red Hat 7 machines that only support one unless you go and
get
updates.
Don't they notice that, like, red spinning thing that says, update me?
No, the update... Remember, Red Hat 7.2 is still supported and gets updates automatically. 7.1 and 7.3, you have to sign up for the Red Hat network, and you don't get all the updates, and it doesn't work so well. Don't use Red Hat 7.1 or 7.3.
I never understood this, like, old version of Red Hat thing. You know what? It's like, you get piece...
Red Hat does not even upgrade its kernel gracefully. Newer ones do, but, like, old Red Hat, if you tried to upgrade the kernel, you'd probably just hose your entire system.
Ugh. See, it bothers me so much. Is like people, there are companies out there trying to be good. They make a Linux software, right?
Yep.
And it might be for sale. It might be for proprietary Linux
software. But that's fine. I just want software.
Yeah. They make software for Linux, but they make it and they send it to you with like a distribution of like Red Hat 7.
Great. I really wanted that.
They've tested it on Red Hat 7 and they've tested it with like Linux standard base.
But then, oh, it uses this weird Red Hat thing, or, oh, it doesn't do this
right.
It won't
work on any other distribution except for the one they've sent you.
I've had installers, and it was an installer, and the script started, and it would check for some, like, system variable, but it would check for it in a form that no modern Linux uses, and then it wouldn't install because it said, oh, you're not running the right blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like, what I would have to do is, like, sometimes under the hood, there's a program that will just work normally, but they've written this whole suite of install scripts to get it to install. I would go in and I would modify all the install scripts to make them just be normal and just copy the files to my hard drive that needed to be copied. You know, and then it would be in a normal LSB executable, whatever. I just run it and it would go.
Yeah.
You know, because I had this, all the libraries it required, and they were just newer versions, but they were backwards compatible, and it just worked. But they write this crazy install system to make it easy for you on the Red Hat distribution they give you or something. And then it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Plus, some companies, they make, like, a standard. Like, all right, our installs will always go this certain way. Like, IBM is real bad about this. So all the IBM software out there that you can buy, there are Linux versions of all the servers and the clients and the agents and everything. But they install, like, Windows programs. Like, they put all their stuff in, like, a folder somewhere on your file system. Mm-hmm. And then they don't put their executable in bin. They put it in, like, this crap place. Yeah, it hurts.
Well, I mean, sometimes if you install, some things are supposed to go in opt. Like if you install OpenOffice, like, you know, it's supposed to go in /opt/OpenOffice, and then all the files are in there, and then in /user/bin, there's a symlink to the OpenOffice executable. Or you include /opt/OpenOffice/bin in your path, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, there are a multitude of ways.
Yeah. And that's the way it's supposed to be because it's like a pre-compiled program or, you know, anything that's like big like that will do that. Like in Gentoo, if you merge Firefox bin, it goes in opt Firefox bin.
Yep.
But if you build it, it goes in USR and everything's split up how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is the correct way, you know, but... people, they make things not... People are making free software, free for no money... Right? Like, GNU.
And they follow the standards and they do things right.
And things work on every distribution with almost no effort, you know? And if it's a source-based distribution, no one has to modify anything.
But then there
are
people
that... And
if
it's a binary distribution, one guy compiles it and it works on all the computers.
Yeah, when was the last time you tried to run an RPM and it didn't install and you were using the right version?
Yeah, and you had all the dependencies. And you did force, and it successfully installed, and then it didn't run. And you modified your path, and you found the file, and you ran it, and it didn't run.
Yeah, often with an obscure error message, like, nothing.
Yeah, it's because someone out there took the source for that program.
Are you sure it was a seg fault? Are you sure it wasn't nothing?
Nothing. Because someone out there took the source for that program and compiled it to work on a machine, and it worked on that machine.
Worked on his machine.
But they didn't test it on every other machine in the known universe and any other different Linux. They only tested it on, like, a bare Red Hat 7 install. You know, it's like, you could have a Red Hat 7 install, and if you add two pieces of software before you install theirs, doesn't work because the library got replaced. You know? These people just don't understand Linux, and they make Linux software like Windows software. It's just not good.
But the people who do it for free often do a better job.
Because people do it for free know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Problem is that the people who, you know, trying to make something to sell don't listen to the people who do it for free. And if they gave them some money, they could probably be rich. But no, now they're just schmoes.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.